is June 20th, 1937. We resemble God most, but we forgive our neighbors. God is love, goodness, and mercy. Every soul, and especially the soul of every religious, should reflect my mercy. My heart overflows with compassion and mercy for all. The heart of my beloved must resemble mine. From her heart must spring the fountain of my mercy for souls. Otherwise, I will not acknowledge her as mine. If we share the same love, same heart of Jesus for others. On several occasions, I've learned how some religious defend their own glory under the pretext of being concerned for the glory of God. Whereas it is not a question of the glory of God, but of glory of self. Oh Jesus, how painful this has been for me. What secrets the day of your judgment will bring to light? How can one steal God's gifts? Today I experience a good deal of sorrow because of a certain person, a lay person. On the basis of one true thing, she said many things which were fictitious. And because they were taken to be true and spread around the whole house, when the news reached my ears, my heart felt a twinge of pain. How can one abuse the goodness of others like that? But I resolved not to say a word in my defense and to show even greater kindness toward that person. A gossip against her. I became aware, however, that I was not strong enough to bear this calmly, because the matter lingered on for weeks. When I saw the storm building up and the wind beginning to blow sand straight into my eyes, I went before the Blessed Sacrament and said to the Lord, "Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me the strength of your actual grace, because I feel that I will not manage to survive this struggle. Shield me with your breast." Then I heard the words, "Do not fear, I am with you." When I left the altar, an extraordinary peace and power filled my soul. And a storm that was raging broke against my soul as against a rock. And the form of the storm fell on those who had reigned it. Oh, how good is the Lord, who will reward each one according to his deed. Let every soul beg for the help of actual grace, as sometimes ordinary grace is not enough. When pain overwhelms my soul, and the horizon darkens like night, and the heart is torn with torments of suffering, Jesus crucified, you are my strength. But the soul dimmed with pain, exert itself in battle without respite. That the heart is in agony and torment, Jesus crucified, you are the hope of my salvation. And so the days pass, and the soul bathes in a sea of bitterness, and the heart dissolves in tears. Jesus crucified will shine for me like the dawn. When a cup of bitterness brims over, and all things conspire against her, and her soul goes down to the Garden of Olives, Jesus crucified in you is my defense. When a soul conscious of its innocence accept these dispensations from God, the heart can repay but with love. Jesus crucified transform a weakness into omnipotence. It's not easy thing to bear sufferings joyfully, especially those which are unmerited. For the nature rebels, and although the intellect and will are both suffering, because they are able to do good to those who inflict suffering on them, nevertheless, the emotions raise a lot of noise. At night, restless spirits attack the intellect and will. But when they see they cannot do anything by themselves, they quiet down and submit to the intellect and will. Like some kind of hideousness, they rush in and stir up a row, bent on making one obey them alone, so long as they are not curbed by the intellect and will. June 23rd, as I was praying before the Most Blessed Sacrament, my physical sufferings ceased suddenly, and I heard these words in my soul: "You see, I can give you everything in one moment. I'm not constrained by any law. If you suffer, God allowing, any moment can take it away. And you're still undergoing suffering, it's God's will that you share pain with Him for the benefit of the sinners." June 24th, after Holy Communion, I heard these words: "Know, my daughter, that in one moment I can give you everything that's needed for the fulfillment of this task." She's so weak. She said, "You cannot do task to spread the good news of the divine mercy." After these words, extraordinary light remained in my soul, and all God's demands seemed to me to be so simple that even a little child could carry them out before it was so heavy. Shall I repeat? June 27th. Today I saw the comment of the new congregation. It was a large and spacious building. I went from room to room observing everything. I saw that God's providence had provided for all that was necessary. The person living in this convent was still wearing lay clothes, but a thoroughly religious spirit regained there, and I was organizing everything just as the Lord wanted. All of a sudden, I heard a rebuke from one of our sisters: "Sister, how can you carry out such works?" I answered that it was not I, but the Lord working through me. And then I had the authorization for everything. During Mass, I received light and profound understanding concerning this whole work, and not a shadow of a doubt remained in my soul. The Lord gave me knowledge of His will under three aspects, so to speak, but it all comes down to one. The first is that souls separated from the world will burn as an offering before God's throne and beg for mercy for the whole world. And by their entreaties, they will obtain blessing for priests, and through their prayers, prepare the world for the final coming of Jesus. The second is prayer joined to the act of mercy. In particular, they would defend the souls of children against the spirit of evil. Prayer and merciful deeds are all that will be required of these souls. And even the poorest persons can be admitted to their number. And this egoistic world, they will try to rouse up love, the mercy of Jesus. The third is prayer and deeds of mercy without any obligation of taking vows. But by doing this, these persons will have a share in all the merits and privileges of the whole congregation. Everyone in the world can belong to this group. I think the congregation says, lay people in the world, the same spirit. A member of this group ought to perform at least one act of mercy a day. Like a girl guide. At least one, but there can be many more. For such deeds can easily be carried out by anyone, even the very poorest. For there are three ways of performing an act of mercy: the merciful word, by forgiving and comforting. Secondly, if you can offer no word, then prayer. That too is mercy. And thirdly, deeds of mercy. And when the last day comes, we shall be judged from this. And on this basis, we shall receive the eternal verdict. God's floodgates have been opened for us. Let us want to take advantage of them before the day of God's judges arise. And that will be a dreadful day. And once I asked the Lord Jesus how he could tolerate so many sins and crimes and not punish them. The Lord answered me, I have eternity for punishing these. And so I am prolonging the time of mercy for the sake of sinners. But woe to them if they do not recognize this time of my visitation. My daughter, secretary of my mercy, your duty is not only to write about and proclaim my mercy, but also to beg for this grace for them, so that they too may glorify my mercy. So God gave us time to wait and ask us to help to pray for sinners. Today my soul suffered such agony that I began to complain to the Lord Jesus. Jesus, how can you leave me alone? I cannot take even one step forward by myself. You have taken my confessor away, and you yourself are hiding from me. Surely you know, Jesus, that of myself I know nothing but how to waste your graces. Jesus, you must arrange things so that Father Andreas will return. But the anguish persisted. It occurred to me to go to some priest and tell him of my anguish, as well as some various inspirations, that he might resolve them for me. And I shared this idea with Mother Superior. Mother replied, I understand, sister, that you are going through a difficult time, but at present, I really do not know of any priest who would be suitable for you. At any rate, Father Andreas will be returning soon. So for now, go and tell everything to the Lord Jesus. So you cannot share with anybody, share with Jesus for the time being. When I went to talk with the Lord for a while, I heard the voice in my soul. Mine, I will not give you the grace to reveal yourself to someone else. And even if you did bear yourself, I will not give that priest the grace needed to understand you. All this time, it's my desire that you put up with yourself patiently. My daughter, it's not my will that you should tell everybody about the gifts I've granted you. I've entrusted you to the care of the friend of my heart. And under this direction, your show will bloom. I give him light to recognize my life in your soul. That means Father Andres. So she has to keep for herself for a time being. Even if she shares with others, other priests won't understand her. My daughter, when I was before Herod, obtained the grace for you. At that time, namely that you would be able to rise above human scorn and follow faithfully in my footsteps. Be silent when they do not want to acknowledge your truth. The God is then that you speak more eloquently. So at times you want to speak out. Don't worry. If you live in truth, you're always in truth. You don't have to explain to one many other people to say that you are in truth. In silence, okay, you can prove that you're in truth. Know that, my daughter, if you strive for perfection, you will sanctify many souls. And if you do not strive for sanity, by the same token, many souls will remain imperfect. Know that the perfection will depend on your perfection. And the greater part of the responsibility for these souls will fall on you. So if she lives better, the other people can live better. So that's our responsibility. She has to suffer. Darkness. Then he said to me, "Do not fear, my child, but remain faithful only to my grace." Satan has admitted to me that I am the object of his hatred. If you love God more, Satan hates you. He said that 1,000 souls do me less harm than you do when you speak of the great mercy of the Almighty One. The greatest sinners regain confidence and return to God, and I lose everything. But what is more, you persecute me personally with that unfathomable mercy of the Almighty One. A total of the great hatred Satan has for the mercy of God. He does not want to acknowledge that God is good. So the message of divine mercy is really exactly Satan doesn't want to hear. Doesn't want us to take in this message with him. It's not always easy. Even today, not many, many, you know, although John Paul II put it into the first Sunday of Easter, be the Feast of Divine Mercy, it's called the second Sunday of Easter, and only bracket Divine Mercy Sunday. Put in the bracket means kind of, you know, in memory, memorial, not exactly the important the feast. See? One more paragraph. June 29th. During breakfast time, Father Andreas greeted the whole community by telephone. Oh, only by telephone. He's already back from Rome, and this very afternoon he came to see us. The professors, the novices, and the both groups of students assembled in the Quadrangle and waited for our dear father. The children welcomed him with songs and poems, and then we asked him to tell us about Rome and the many beautiful things he has seen there. He spoke for over 2 hours, and because of this, there was no time left to talk in private. She was waiting for this opportunity to talk to Father Andres, whatever she knows. No time. Today, my soul entered into close union with the Lord. He made known to me how I should always abandon myself to His only will. It's the word. In one moment, I can give you more than you are able to desire. June 30th, 1937. Today, the Lord said to me, I have wanted to exalt this congregation many times, but I'm unable to do so because of his pride. No, my daughter, that I do not grant my graces to proud souls, and I even take away from them the graces I have granted. I say again, I wanted to exalt this congregation many times, but I'm unable to do so because of his pride. Her own congregation, I mean. No, my daughter, that I do not grant my graces to proud souls, and I even take away from them the graces I have granted. So maybe in her congregation, there are many sisters may have given this the same grace, but they don't get it because of pride. So let us pray together. Eternal Father.